Welcome to Neuromonics Podcast, where we explore the evolving landscape of innovation, disruption, and technology's transformative power in our everyday lives. Welcome back to Neuronomics. If you're finding us for the first time, know this. You didn't stumble here by accident. There's a resonance, a frequency that draws like minds, like spirits, together. And if you're a returning listener, you already know. You feel it. This isn't just another podcast dropped into the endless ocean of digital content. This is more than that. This is a signal. A very specific signal cutting through a world saturated with noise. We're not just here to fill your commute, be background chatter while you multitask. Neuronomics, especially this season, and particularly this episode, is designed as a catalyst. This isn't content in the disposable sense of the word. It isn't marketing, hoping to sell you something superficial. No, what we're building here, together, is a movement. A quiet revolution of perception, of understanding, of building something that lasts. And if you're hearing this right now, if these words are landing, truly landing within you, it means something. It signifies that something inside you is stirring, shifting, perhaps even aching for a new paradigm. Because the truth, the uncomfortable but liberating truth, that most platforms, most voices, most institutions will never articulate, is this. We're not living in the information age anymore. That era, with its promises of democratization through data, and its eventual avalanche of unfiltered, overwhelming input, has crested. It has run its course. We are now, unequivocally, in the identity age. And in this new age, the rules of value, of leverage, of impact, have been rewritten from the ground up. Your greatest asset, the cornerstone of your influence and your fulfillment, isn't your meticulously crafted resume, listing past glories. It isn't your follower count, that fleeting metric of digital validation. It's not the business you courageously started, nor the prestigious title you worked so hard to achieve. No. In the identity age, your most profound, most unshakable asset is your clarity. Think about that. Clarity. Who are you? Truly, when the likes stop coming. When the algorithm, that unseen puppet master, suddenly goes dark. Its preferences shifting like desert sands. When the audience disperses. When no one is watching, no one is validating. No one is expecting a performance. Who remains? What is the irreducible core of you? Because the people who architect this next chapter of human endeavor, the ones who will build resiliently, meaningfully, they're not the ones desperately chasing attention, fleeting from trend to trend. They are the cultivators. They are cultivating signal, true signal. The kind that resonates authenticity, that speaks of depth, that carries an undeniable weight of truth. They are becoming unignorable, not through volume or spectacle, but because they are, with unwavering commitment, unmistakably themselves. Neuronomics is for them, for you, for the builders, the innovators, the thinkers who see identity not as a superficial brand strategy, a colorful veneer to be applied and reapplied, but as fundamental infrastructure, the very bedrock upon which everything else of value is constructed. For the philosophers of the everyday, the strategists of the soul, who instinctively know a profound truth. Artificial intelligence, in its exponential ascent, can and will automate almost everything. It can write code, generate reports, create art, manage logistics, analyze data at speeds and scales we can barely comprehend. But there are sanctuaries it cannot touch. AI cannot automate clarity. Your clarity. It cannot synthesize soul. Your soul. It cannot replicate the unique, unrepeatable essence of you. So if you've been feeling it, that subtle growing dissonance, the sense that the world has become exponentially louder, more chaotic, a cacophony of competing narratives. And yet, amidst that external storm, you're beginning to hear something deeper, quieter, more insistent, resonating from within you. Then you are unequivocally in the right place. Because here, we're not interested in scaling content for its own sake. That's the old game. We're dedicated to scaling consciousness. And you? You are not just a passive recipient in this. You are the architect. You are the engineer. You are the new infrastructure. Let's get into it. Let me ask you a question. A real question. I want you to sit with it for a moment. When did it happen? When did the simple, fundamental idea of being yourself morph into a performance? A role to be played. A script to be memorized and recited on cue. When precisely did our intrinsic sense of identity, that deeply personal anchor, get handed over, piece by piece, to external platforms, to beautifying filters, to carefully, painfully curated bios that present a polished sliver of a much more complex reality? At what point did your core sense of self become an unwitting participant in an ongoing, relentless algorithmic experiment? Tweet and optimize for engagement, for visibility. For what exactly? There was a time not so distant where we defined ourselves primarily by what we did, our actions, our contributions, our creations, our relationships. Now, increasingly, we find ourselves defined by how we're perceived, and in this global theater of constant perception management, we've loosened our grip, perhaps even forfeited our claim on something primal, something essential, the clarity to just be, the courage to exist without constant external validation, without the need for an audience's applause. This isn't a sigh of nostalgia for a simpler bygone era. This is a diagnosis. This is a matter of survival in the world that is, and a world that is coming. Because here's the stark reality of what's happening right now, all around us and within us. The world is accelerating. It's fracturing along old fault lines and creating new ones. It's becoming, in many ways, deceptively frictionless, smoothing over the very resistances that once forged character and resilience. And inside that accelerating, fracturing, often bewildering chaos, the grand institutions, the old pillars that once seemed immutable, are visibly crumbling. Think about it. Universities, once the unchallenged arbiters of knowledge, now struggle for relevance and trust. Newspapers, the former gatekeepers of information, fight for survival against a tidal wave of disaggregated content. Governments, in many parts of the world, grapple with declining public faith and an inability to keep pace with technological and social change. Banks, the traditional custodians of financial security, are being fundamentally challenged by decentralized technologies. Even established religions, which for millennia provided foundational identity and community, are finding their traditional roles reevaluated and often diminished. The old identity anchors, the signposts that told us who we were, where we belonged, what was expected of us, they're not just shifting, they're dissolving, rusting away in the relentless digital rain. So what do you do? What do we do when there's no pre-written script for this new stage? When the traditional gatekeepers, the ones who once validated your worth, granted you access, bestowed upon you the imprimatur of legitimacy, are either gone or have lost their authority. When there's no universally recognized title to hide behind, no organizational affiliation that automatically confers status or meaning, you do the only thing you can do, the most courageous thing you can do. You build your identity from the inside out. Not as a pitch, crafted to persuade, not as a brand designed to sell, but as infrastructure, solid, resilient, authentic. The deep foundation upon which a meaningful life and impactful work can be built. Because if you don't consciously, deliberately, courageously define yourself in this new landscape, the system will. It will define you by default. And the system, the algorithmic institutional societal system, it doesn't care who you truly are. It doesn't care about your nuances, your complexities, your hidden potentials, your quiet anxieties, your unspoken dreams. It only cares what you produce, what you signal, what you optimize for its metrics. But you are not a metric to be tracked. You are not a content feed to be endlessly refreshed. You are not defined by your latest product launch or your most recent public failure, your highest high or your lowest low. You are the signal behind the signal, the intent behind the action, the consciousness that observes and directs. And the most dangerous thing you can do in this world, a world that often rewards conformity and penalizes genuine individuality, is to be absolutely, unapologetically clear about who you are. Because clarity, in an age drowning in noise, in an era choked by ambiguity and spin, clarity is rebellion. It is a revolutionary act. And yet, paradoxically, most people are utterly terrified of it. Why is that? Why this deep-seated fear of something so seemingly virtuous? Because genuine clarity forces decisions, hard decisions. It forces you to confront head on everything that's not you. It compels you to drop the borrowed scripts, the hand-me-down belief systems, the personas you adopted because they seemed advantageous or safe. It demands that you shed the masks, the ones that made you likable to people you didn't truly connect with, promotable in systems you didn't fully believe in, digestible to a world that prefers simplicity over substance. But here's the kicker. The profound insight that changes the game entirely. If you build your life, your work, your identity, to be merely digestible, you will never, ever be unforgettable. What makes you truly powerful, what gives you lasting leverage, isn't your superficial polish. It isn't how smoothly you conform to expectations. It's your precision. Not precision in crafting a flawless, idealized story. No. Precision in how real your story is. How authentically you embody your stated values. How consistently you show up as the person you claim to be. So as the noise keeps rising, an incessant digital hum that threatens to drown out all subtlety, and the world gets blurrier, its truths obscured by a fog of misinformation and competing narratives, and as everyone around you seems to be racing to build faster, louder, more content, more followers, more products, more something. I'm asking you, I'm urging you to consider going in the exact opposite direction. Build clearer. Because clarity, unlike fleeting attention or superficial trends, compounds. It's an investment that yields increasing returns over time. Clarity accretes. It solidifies. It becomes trust. The bedrock of all meaningful relationships and transactions. It becomes alignment, drawing to you the right people, the right opportunities, the right resources. It becomes velocity, not just frenetic speed, but directed, purposeful movement that achieves significant results because it's not wasted on detours or distractions. You want real, sustainable leverage in this identity age? Clarity is that leverage. Because when you truly know who you are, what you stand for, and where you're going, you stop wasting precious energy, time, and resources trying to prove it to others through performance and posturing. You just move. You just build. You just and that energy, that quiet confidence, that unwavering authenticity, that's what people genuinely follow. That's what magnetizes real opportunity, the kind that aligns with your deepest values and aspirations. Not the fake stuff, the hollow engagements, the superficial collaborations that drain your soul. Not the short-term hype that vanishes as quickly as it appears, but the kind of profound alignment that allows you to scale yourself, your impact, your vision, without losing yourself in the process, without fracturing your integrity. Because in a world where tools, technologies, and platforms multiply exponentially, offering seemingly infinite ways to broadcast a message, and where truth, objective truth, gets buried under 1,000 competing narratives, 1,000,000 different spins. The clearest voice, the one that cuts through the static with precision and authenticity, ultimately becomes the loudest. Not the noisiest, not the most aggressive, the clearest. the most resonant, the most trusted. And if you want to lead in this new era, if you want to build something that endures, something that matters, if you want to carve out a unique lane, a space that no one else can replicate because it's authentically yours, then clarity isn't just a nice to have. It's not optional. It's not a soft skill. It's infrastructure, the essential, non-negotiable foundation. And you? You are the builder of your identity, of your internal and external systems that support that identity, of your unique, uncopyable signal. And it all starts today. Not tomorrow, not next week, not when things calm down or when you feel ready. Right here, right now, with one simple yet profoundly terrifying decision. The decision to stop performing for an ever-shifting audience and start, truly start, the lifelong process of becoming. Let's move. Let me take you back for a moment, not to some grand public turning point you might have read about, but to a quiet, intensely personal moment of reckoning. One of those late night battles that so many of us who build, who innovate, who push the edges, know all too well. There was a night, and it wasn't that long ago, the sting of it, the lessons of it, still feel fresh. Its imprint indelible. I was deep in my own creative crucible, my command center. The clock on my monitor glowed, not 2:12 a.m., as previous telling of a similar, more metaphorical story, but a hard 2:30 a.m. This wasn't about abstract platforms. This was about the very tangible core of my digital and creative life. I was neck deep in the fascinating, sometimes frustrating world of locally hosted AI, specifically exploring an open source platform called Pinocchio. It's this amazing ecosystem where dedicated individuals are trying to build genuinely useful AI applications that don't require us to hand over our data or processes to the cloud giants. True ownership, true exploration. That night, I was focused on a stable diffusion model, trying to get a quantized version running, a smaller, more efficient iteration that wouldn't demand so much from my GPU. My workhorse, NVIDIA 3090 Ti, Founders Edition. This machine, you have to understand, isn't just a computer to me. It's been my mini data center, the heart of my operations, a hub from which I've deployed virtual machines to collaborators scattered across the globe, enabling us to build and create together, in real time, on complex projects. It represents years of investment, countless hours of configuration, and the very infrastructure of my capacity to do, to create, to connect. And in that profound pre-dawn stillness, pushing the boundaries of what this hardware could do, wrestling with drivers and dependencies, the room suddenly flickered. A distinct smell of ozone. My screens went black. A sickening silence. My GPU, that power-hungry beast, had surged. And in that instant, that heart-stopping, terrifying moment, I thought, this is it. It's done for. The thought wasn't just about a piece of hardware. It was about the projects frozen mid-render, the collaboration suddenly severed, the intricate digital ecosystem I had so carefully constructed around this machine potentially collapsing. If this core piece of my personal infrastructure, this engine of my productivity, and a key part of my professional identity as a builder vanished, or worse, was fried beyond repair, what would that mean? How much of my momentum, my ability to execute, was tied to the single, powerful, now possibly dead, piece of silicon and metal? This feeling, this sudden, stark confrontation with vulnerability, was a very concrete echo of a broader anxiety I think many of us feel. We invest so much of ourselves into our tools, our platforms, our digital extensions. I realized then, with a clarity that only crisis can bring, that I hadn't just outsourced tasks to my machine. I'd outsourced a part of my operational identity, my confidence in my ability to deliver. It wasn't a deliberate act of self-betrayal, this reliance. Not a dramatic crisis of faith in my own abilities apart from this machine. It was much like a broader societal drift, far more insidious. It happened subtly, incrementally, through 1,000 successful projects, 1,000,000 lines of code compiled, countless terabytes of data processed, each success reinforcing the bond, the dependency, optimizing my workflows for its capabilities, polishing my creative output based on its rendering power, adapting my project timelines, my commitments, even the scope of my ambitions to what it could handle. Until in that moment of its apparent demise, the thought arose. What of me was left if this critical enabler was gone? It wasn't untrue that I was a builder, an innovator. But how much of that was me, and how much was the finely tuned extension of me that now lay silent? It was a curated, technologically empowered version of my capabilities. And its potential loss exposed the raw, unadorned reality. I call the more common version of this algorithmic mirage, that seductive illusion on the digital horizon, promising connection and success, rewarding reflections over depth. But this was a hardware mirage. A tangible reminder that even our most robust local systems, our self-hosted bastions, can be fragile. It underscored that the illusion of control can be shattered in an instant. You don't need to be an influencer chasing likes to feel this. You just have to be someone who builds, who relies on complex systems. Whether they are global social platforms or the intricate workings of a high-performance GPU that you've pushed to its limits. Because these systems, these digital and physical infrastructures we inhabit and depend upon, don't just host our work anymore. They actively, powerfully shape it, and by extension, they shape us. They shape our methodologies, our collaborations, our very sense of what's possible. And somewhere in that intricate dance between our human intention and our technological capacity, we can lose the thread of our own intrinsic capabilities, independent of the tools. So in that tense hour, faced with a potentially dead GPU and the cascading implications, I asked myself a very hard, very practical question. What am I? What can I do? If this core piece of my infrastructure is truly gone, if this personal platform has vanished, and what came back wasn't a philosophical treatise, It wasn't a neatly packaged brand statement about resilience. It was a primal urge to understand, to fix, to reclaim. The immediate answer was, I either fix this or I find another way, but I don't stop. The next day, it wasn't about abstractly rebuilding an identity. It was about a very concrete, hands-on deconstruction. I took that NVIDIA 3090 Ti Founders Edition apart, piece by piece. It was an act of faith as much as mechanics. I cleaned every fin, replaced every thermal pad, carefully applied fresh thermal paste. It was a meticulous, almost meditative process. Reconnecting with the machine not as a magical black box, but as a system of interconnected parts, each with a purpose, each requiring care. And then the moment of truth, reinstallation, power on, the fans whirred to life, the boot screen appeared. It worked. Not only did it work, but after the cleaning and the new thermal components, it ran cooler, quieter, better than it had even when I first bought the thing back in 2023. It was more than repaired. It was renewed, improved, stronger. That physical act of diagnosis, deconstruction, and successful reconstruction, of taking something that seemed catastrophically broken and making it whole, even better. That shift in perspective, it changed so much more than just my computer. It crystallized the understanding that true leverage, true resilience, doesn't come from a blind faith in any external system, because it's a social media algorithm or the flawless functioning of a piece of hardware. It comes from being anchored. Anchored in your own ability to diagnose, to learn, to adapt, to get your hands dirty. Anchored in a purpose that drives you to find solutions even when the primary tools fail. Anchored in a commitment to your own process, your own truth, earned through the messy, tangible work of creation and repair. And once you are truly anchored in that internal capacity, that deep well of resourcefulness, you can build anything. You can rebuild anything. You can navigate any technological storm, any platform shift, because your core, your skills, your determination, your problem-solving mind is secure. You're not just performing tasks through a system anymore. You're transmitting your intent, your skill, into the system. And if necessary, rebuilding the system. And there's a profound confidence that comes from that. It's a resonance that goes beyond the hum of a well-tuned machine. It's the quiet power of knowing you can face the darkness, the surge, the silence, and find a way to bring the light back on, stronger than before. That, right there, is the difference between someone who is merely a user of tools and someone who is a true builder. A master of their craft, capable of not just operating, but of understanding and restoring their own infrastructure. It's not just about the code you write or the content you produce. It's about your capacity to engage with the very foundations of your work, to ensure they are sound, and to rebuild them when they falter. The soul is in the system you build, and your ability to sustain it. So I ask you again, to reflect on this deeply, beyond just the digital algorithms. If your core tools, your critical platforms, your essential systems, whether they're lines of code, communities, or actual hardware, were to unexpectedly go dark tomorrow, what would you still stand for? What deep knowledge, what core skills within you would remain your guide? What purpose, independent of any specific technology or platform, would still drive your actions? What irreducible essence of your problem-solving, creative, resilient self would still remain clear and undiminished, ready to rebuild? That, my friends, is a pivotal question for this era of rapid change and technological reliance. Because everything else, the specific software, the particular platform, even the current iteration of your hardware, is ultimately transient. Your capacity to learn, adapt, and rebuild, that is enduring. Let's go deeper into what is truly consequential. What forms that enduring core? Here's something fundamental that the old playbooks, the traditional career guides, simply don't tell you. Or if they do, they bury it in their footnotes. Your reputation in this hyper-connected, radically transparent world is now significantly more valuable than your resume. Let that sink in. Your accumulated, publicly perceivable signal, the sum total of your actions, your words, your consistency, your demonstrated character, is worth more, far more, than your list of certifications, your degrees, or your past job titles. In the old world, the one many of us were conditioned for, we were taught to diligently, methodically build careers, climb the ladder, collect the credentials, follow the established path. In this new one, the primary task is to build trust. And trust, the currency of the identity age, isn't primarily built through those traditional credentials. Not anymore. They can be a starting point, a baseline, but they are no longer sufficient. They are no longer the key differentiator. Trust is now built painstakingly and consistently through clarity. Clarity of who you are. Clarity of what you value. Clarity in how you communicate. It's built through consistency. Consistency in your actions, aligning with your stated beliefs. Consistency in delivering on your promises, day in and day out. It's built through tangible proof of work, shared generously, often in public, demonstrating not just what you can do, but how you do it and why. People don't just Google your name anymore to find your LinkedIn profile or your company website. That's just the surface skim. They feel you, even through the digital interface. They subconsciously notice your patterns of communication, the language you use, the topics you engage with, the way you respond under pressure. They track the evolution of your voice, the consistency of your message over time. They listen, often without even realizing it, for alignment. Alignment between what you say and what you do. Alignment between your past actions and your present assertions. Alignment between your public persona and the glimpses they might get of your private character. And in a world where artificial intelligence, as we've discussed, can write marketing copy better than many humans, can generate reports, can automate complex tasks with terrifying efficiency. The only thing you truly uniquely own, the one asset that cannot be perfectly replicated or outsourced to a machine, is how you show up. How you move through the world both online and offline. How you deliver on your commitments consistently over time. How you treat people, especially when there's nothing to be gained. That aggregate of perception built on a foundation of authentic action is the new economy. We've been told for years that we live in an attention economy, and to some extent, that was and is true. Attention is valuable, a valuable, finite resource. But I submit to you that we're rapidly transitioning, or perhaps have already transitioned, into something deeper, something more meaningful, a reputation economy. And if you're not consciously, deliberately, strategically building your reputational system, the ecosystem of trust and credibility that surrounds you, then you are, by default, being defined by someone else's system, by the algorithms, by the perceptions of others, often based on incomplete or distorted information, by the narratives that others choose to spin about you. Think about the nature of reputation itself. It has undergone a radical transformation. Reputation used to be slow moving. It was built over years, decades even, often within relatively confined geographical and professional communities. A few missteps could tarnish it, but it also had a certain inertia. Now, in real time, a single tweet, a viral video, a leaked email can create or destroy a reputation globally in hours. Reputation used to have a significant private dimension. What you did in your personal life was often separate from your professional standing, unless something truly egregious occurred. Now, it's public by default. The lines are blurred to the point of near invisibility. The expectation of transparency, whether fair or not, is pervasive. Reputation used to be, for many, somewhat optional outside of a specific high-trust professions. You could be competent, do your job, and your broader reputation was a secondary concern. Now, it's infrastructure. It's the fundamental bedrock upon which your career, your business, your influence, your ability to make an impact is built. And that profound shift means that every decision you make, no matter how small it seems, every message you send, every email you compose, every comment you leave online, every project you touch, every collaboration you engage in, every promise you make or break, it all compounds. It's all data. It's all contributing to the ever-evolving, publicly accessible ledger of your reputation. You are constantly, whether you realize it or not, building capital. You're building social capital, the network of relationships, the goodwill, the reciprocal trust you cultivate. You're building intellectual capital, your knowledge, your skills, your unique insights, your ability to solve problems. You're building relational capital, the quality and depth of your connections with others. And if you do it right, if you are clear, consistent, and authentic, you are building reputational capital, which is the only kind of capital that truly cannot be copied, cannot be stolen, cannot be devalued overnight by market fluctuations or technological disruption. Here's what I mean by that. Let's break it down. Your specific skills can be copied. Someone else can learn to do what you do. AI might even learn to do it faster or cheaper. Your business tactics, your marketing strategies can be observed and stolen by competitors. Even your brilliant frameworks, your innovative models can eventually be mimicked, reverse engineered, and replicated by others once they understand the underlying principles. But trust. The trust that people have in you, specifically. That's yours, and yours alone. It's uniquely tethered to your identity, your history, your consistent pattern of behavior. And in a world where the sheer speed of change is accelerating relentlessly, where individuals and organizations simply don't have the time or resources to meticulously vet every single source, every piece of information, every potential partner, they default to who they trust. They follow their voices, the leaders, the brands they trust. Not just because of what you say in any given moment, but because of who you have been consistently over time. That demonstrated history of integrity and reliability. This is precisely why I keep returning to this core assertion. Identity is infrastructure. Because when people, your clients, your customers, your colleagues, your collaborators, your community, truly know what you stand for, what your core principles are, how you operate, they start building with you. They start amplifying your message. They start defending your reputation. They start bringing you opportunities, often even when you're not in the room. That is the ultimate form of leverage. That is the power of a deeply embedded, highly trusted reputation. To have a name, a personal brand, a presence that precedes you. Not because it's universally famous in a celebrity sense, but because it's widely and deeply trusted within your sphere of influence. Think about the people you truly follow, the newsletters you always open, the podcast you never miss, the authors whose books you buy without even reading the blurb, the voices you genuinely rely on for insight, for guidance, for a clear perspective in a confusing world. The names that, when you see them, make you click, make you listen, make you lean in. What is it about them? If you analyze it, it's rarely about superficial polish. It's seldom about achieving some unattainable standard of perfection. In fact, often their acknowledged imperfections and vulnerabilities make them more trustworthy, more relatable. It's about pattern recognition. Your brain over time has recognized a consistent pattern. Every time I hear from this person, I walk away clearer, more informed, more inspired. Every time they drop something new, whether it's an article, a product, a course, it's consistently worth my time, worth my investment. Every time they speak on a subject, I lean in because I trust their research, their integrity, their unique perspective. That's the kind of reputational asset you want to build. That's the goal. And you don't build that through meticulously optimized content calendars alone, or through chasing viral trends, or through gaming the algorithm. Those are tactics, and often fleeting. You build it, layer by layer, interaction by interaction, through clarity, clear identity, knowing who you are at your core, clear values, knowing what you stand for and what you won't stand for, clear voice, communicating your identity and values with consistency, authenticity, and courage. Because the world, as we have established, is drowning in words, drowning in content, drowning in noise. But it is absolutely starving for signal, starving for authenticity, starving for trustworthy voices. You want to win, not just in business, but in life, in the next decade and beyond. Don't just write more. Don't just show up more. Don't just optimize more. Aspire to be felt. Aspire to be remembered for the right reasons. Aspire above all to be trusted. That's the new game. That's the enduring game. And the best part, the truly liberating part, it's not about going viral for 15 minutes of fame. It's about going deep. Deep with your message. Deep with your audience. Deep with your impact. Build something so clear, your personal brand, your company culture, your body of work. So profoundly aligned with your core identity, so authentically real that people trust it more, not less, every single time they encounter it. That is how you win in the reputation economy. That is how you build something that lasts. Let's build. All right, let's talk about story. It's not story in the way it's often presented, as a slick marketing technique, a carefully constructed narrative designed to elicit a specific emotional response and drive a desired action. We're going deeper than that. I'm not talking about the story you were handed by your family, your culture, your early environment, the one that often runs on autopilot in the background of your mind. I'm not talking about the polished, sanitized version you tell at networking events or in job interviews when you want to sound impressive, accomplished, and devoid of any interesting flaws or failures. I'm talking about the real story. The one that simmers under the surface. The one that was forged in the fires of your actual lived experiences. Your triumphs, yes, but also your setbacks, your struggles, your moments of doubt, your periods of confusion, the story that shaped you, that molded your worldview, and if you allowed it, sharpened you into the individual you are today. Because in this new era, this identity age we're navigating, your story isn't just a quaint personal narrative. It's not just a collection of biographical facts. It's code. Think of it that way. Your authentic story is a powerful, functional piece of code. Code that carries potent signal, transmitting who you are, what you believe, and what you're capable of. Code that encodes your core values, embedding them into every anecdote, every lesson learned, every decision made. Code that, when executed consistently and authentically, compiles trust with those who resonate with its underlying logic. And like any truly great piece of software code, Your story code doesn't need to be excessively long or verbose. Bloated code is inefficient and prone to bugs. It needs to be clean, stripped of artifice, pretense, and unnecessary embellishment. It needs to be compressed, carrying maximum meaning in the most concise form possible. It needs to be precise, every element serving a purpose, every word chosen with intent. It needs to be, above all, unmistakable, clearly and uniquely yours. Because clarity, true clarity, isn't about the sheer length of your explanation or the volume of your output. It's about structure, the underlying architecture of your message, of your identity, and your story. When understood, embraced, and told with this kind of clarity and precision, becomes a functional architecture, an operating system for your personal brand, for your leadership, for your interactions, one that other people can intuitively understand, one that they can run, metaphorically speaking, to predict your behavior, to understand your motivations, one that they can rely on, one that they can trust. For too long, we've been taught by traditional marketing and branding gurus to treat story like, well, like branding, like a superficial layer, a decorative element, a nice to have. But the real builders, the architects of lasting impact in this new age, they treat story like infrastructure. It's not decoration painted on the walls. It's the foundation poured deep into the earth. It's the load-bearing beams that ensure the integrity of the entire structure. Your story, your authentic story, is what people build their trust on top of when they choose to invest their time, their money, their energy, their belief in you. And in a world increasingly saturated with generic narratives, AI-generated content, and carefully polished but ultimately hollow personal brands, where everyone's story starts to sound depressingly the same, the definitive edge, the unfair advantage, is being uncompromisingly real. Now let me be clear, I'm not talking about being raw in a chaotic, unfiltered, trauma-dumping kind of way. That's often counterproductive and can create discomfort rather than connection. I'm talking about being real in a way that reflects earned clarity. Real in a way that demonstrates self-awareness and a journey of intentional growth. Real in a way that's shaped by conscious choice, by deliberate reflection on your experiences, not just by the passive accumulation of circumstance. Let me say this as plain as I can. You're not here in this work, in this life, to be a character, a one-dimensional character in someone else's play. You're here to be a framework, a living, breathing, evolving framework of principles, values, and experiences that others can learn from, engage with, and build upon. When people meet you, whether it's online through your content, on a stage at a conference, across a table in a deal negotiation, they should be able to, in a sense, run your story like a piece of well-documented open source logic. Ah, I see. This is where they came from. These are their experiences that shape their perspective. This is how they tend to think. These are their principles that guide their decision-making process. This is what they unequivocally stand for. These are their non-negotiables. And then, based on that clear, coherent understanding, they make a decision. A fully informed decision. They opt in. They choose to connect, to collaborate, to follow. Or they opt out. They recognize a misalignment, a lack of resonance, and they move on. And here's the crucial part. Both of those outcomes are wins. Because your authentic story isn't meant for everyone. It's not supposed to be universally appealing. Trying to make it so is the fastest way to dilute its power. It's for the ones who are meant to build with you. The ones who are already, perhaps unconsciously, aligning with your unique signal. The ones who don't need to be sold with hype or persuasion. They just need to clearly see and deeply know who you really are. You want an almost unfair advantage in this crowded, noisy world? Get radically, uncomfortably, exhilaratingly aligned with your real story. Not the sugar-coated version you think people want to hear. Not the meticulously polished for a press release or an award nomination. The one you actually lived through. The one that sharpened your vision through adversity. The one that forged your resilience in the crucible of challenge. The story that still burns. A quiet but intense flame under everything you build. Everything you create. Everything you do. You know what I'm talking about. We all have those moments. These chapters. That specific moment when it all clicked into place. Or perhaps, more powerfully, when it all spectacularly fell apart. Forcing a painful, but necessary, reinvention. It's a beacon for people who will follow you. Who will trust you, who will join your cause. Because ultimately, people don't just buy your product or your service. They buy your clarity. They are drawn to the certainty that emanates from someone who truly knows themselves. They buy your conviction. They are inspired by the passion that comes from a deeply held belief. They buy your why, especially when that why is unshakable, rooted in authentic experience, and clearly articulated. So here's the invitation, the challenge, the opportunity. Stop hiding the messy parts of your story. Those aren't liabilities. They are often the source of your greatest strengths, your deepest empathy, your most valuable lessons. Stop diluting the sharp edges of your personality, your unique perspective, to make yourself more palatable to a generic audience. Those edges are what make you distinct, memorable. Stop flattening your inherent complexity. Your multifaceted nature, just to fit into someone else's narrow, comfortable box. You don't need to be universally palatable. You need to be uniquely precise. Because when your story is encoded with the level of clarity, this level of authenticity, this level of congruence, it becomes impossible to truly copy. No competitor can steal your lived experience. No AI can genuinely fake your earned wisdom. No one can replicate the unique alchemy of your personal journey. No one can replace you. And that profound, uncopyable uniqueness rooted in your authentic story, that is what makes you unshakable in this new economy. Because AI, for all its power, can replicate style. It can mimic tone with uncanny accuracy. It can even generate grammatically perfect, engaging, and highly readable writing. But it cannot live your story. It cannot earn your scars, your triumphs, your heartbreaks, your epiphanies. It cannot code your clarity from raw material of a human life lived with intention and reflection. That is yours, uniquely, powerfully, forever. Use it, embrace it, build with it. Let's talk about something that often gets glossed over in the enthusiastic rush towards authenticity and personal branding. Let's discuss what no one typically warns you about when you embark on this journey of cultivating true clarity. Clarity is dangerous. It sounds noble, doesn't it? Strategic, inspiring, the kind of quality everyone would ostensibly aspire to. But when you actually start to embody it, to live it, to speak it, consistently and without apology, it gets uncomfortable fast for you and for the people around you. Because the very moment you start speaking clearly, with precision and conviction about who you are, what you believe, and what you stand for, you start creating friction. Not necessarily because you're wrong or aggressive or intentionally provocative, but simply because you're no longer vague. You're no longer a safe, ambiguous blur. It can be interpreted in multiple convenient ways. You're no longer easy to misunderstand, easy to ignore, or easy to co-opt for someone else's agenda. And that, paradoxically, threatens people. It challenges their own comfort with ambiguity. See, vague people who operate in the comfortable fog of generality, can fit in almost anywhere. They can nod along enthusiastically in almost any room, agree with conflicting viewpoints, and blend seamlessly into the background. They can say a great many words without actually saying anything of substance, without taking a firm stand. It's a survival mechanism, often unconscious. But clear people, they draw lines, not aggressively, but inevitably. Their very clarity defines a boundary. They say no more often. No to opportunities that don't align. No to requests that compromise their values. No to relationships that drain their energy. Their clarity makes others, often unconsciously, question their own internal fuzziness, their own lack of conviction, their own unexamined assumptions. And that process of self-questioning, when triggered by someone else's clarity, is profoundly uncomfortable for them, and sometimes, through their reactions, for you. Because clarity cuts like a well-honed blade. It cuts through the noise, the pretense, the superficiality. It separates. It distinguishes what is aligned from what is not. It confronts. It brings unspoken assumptions and unresolved dissonances to the surface. And the consequences are real. You'll likely start losing some followers, some casual connections, who are only there for the more diluted, more palatable version of you. You'll start confusing people, even well-meaning ones, who only knew the polished, professional, perhaps more guarded version of you, and are unsettled by this newfounded directness. You'll almost certainly start attracting criticism, perhaps even hostility, from people who used to praise your neutrality. Your ability to get along with everyone, because your clarity now implicitly challenges their own positions or makes them feel judged. But that's the tax. That is the unavoidable price of precision in a world that often prefers comfortable consensus over challenging truth. Clarity, by its very nature, makes you magnetic to the right people and polarizing to others. It makes you incredibly efficient in your actions and decisions because you're not wasting time on misalignments. And yes, sometimes that efficiency can feel lonely as you diverge from the well-trodden, crowded paths. But it also, most importantly, makes you undeniably real. And in a world increasingly drowning in fake news, fake personas, fake engagement, fake everything, real is rare. Real is trusted. Real is remembered. Real has gravity. So you have to make a conscious decision, a fundamental choice. Do you want to be vaguely liked by almost everyone to maintain a superficial level of approval across a broad spectrum? Or do you want to be profoundly known, deeply understood, and fiercely valued by the right ones? The ones who truly resonate with your core. Because every single time you get clearer, every time you articulate your stance with more precision, every time you act in closer alignment with your authentic self, you upgrade your filter. Your personal operating system becomes more discerning. You attract your people, your tribe, your true audience, your aligned collaborators with greater and greater accuracy. And simultaneously, you repel the rest. You create distance from those who are not on your wavelength. And that repulsion, that filtering out, is not a glitch in the system. That's the feature. That's the system working perfectly. We live in an age of infinite inputs, a relentless barrage of information, opinions, demands on our attention. And in such an environment, your greatest personal and professional asset is your cultivated ability to stand firm and say, with quiet confidence and unwavering conviction, "This is me. This is what I stand for. This is what I'm building."